Hi, this is Jenny White, the host of the Business Growth Podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs, business owners, and high-level executives to learn best practices, how to grow your business from a variety of different industries and verticals. Anyone and everyone can get knowledge from this show, and we're excited to have you here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Business Growth Podcast. My name is Jenny White. I'm here today with Scott Forche. He's the founder and CEO of Distinctive ID, a consultancy based in Dana Point, California. We're sort of kind of neighbors on the Southern California West Coast, but he's an amazing consultant. Close enough. We could drive there in an emergency if we had to. He's got a really cool consultancy where he's been basically able to reimagine what businesses need for distinctive go-to-market strategies. And so he's going to be here today to share some of his insights and learnings and strategies with us. So thanks so much for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We were just chit-chatting a little bit about the idea behind a consultancy and why it makes so much sense to keep yourself open and flexible. You've been actually engaging in things recently you did not think you were ever really going to do, for example, pricing optimizations for your clients and new things that are coming about, because we do live in a very evolving digital landscape. And so I don't know, would you like to kind of share some of those things off the bat that you were just chatting about?
Yeah, I think to your point, I think it's important to maintain, I guess, given our wide array of experiences, it positions us, I think, uniquely to add value to our clients in a myriad different ways, right? To your point on the pricing optimization piece, that was just kind of a happy accident that occurred from just sort of a day in the life of consulting with a client. Distinctive ID is admittedly a one-person operation. You're looking at him. And oh, by the way, we're filming on Halloween, so if you see Halloween candy, like apologies for that. I just haven't gotten to eating, around to eating it yet. So Distinctive ID, I focus primarily on helping digital consultancies and agencies from a go-to-market perspective. And that's a pretty nebulous term that can produce, you know, any number of sub-bullets underneath that sort of primary topic. I focus mostly on services firms because that's where, you know, a vast majority of my experience has been, whether that's very large agencies. I did a stint with the IBM Consulting 4 or 5 years worth, Deloitte Digital as well. And then I've worked with a lot of smaller sort of boutique agencies as well, helping them sort of contemporize, you know, if that's even a word, make contemporary a business development practice. And again, that or a go-to-market practice. So in the case of the pricing optimization piece, that was just, hey, look, we need to do a better job, you know, as client X or industry at large at understanding how buyers buy in this sort of new and challenging economic climate. And so, you know, how do we put skin in the game? How do we create more sort of partner-based sales models where we can cover the costs of the services we provide, but then take a piece of the returns that come from the quality of work that we do? That becomes a much more difficult model for buyers to contest or say no to. And I think, again, results may vary. We'll see how it turns out. But I think that if we're thinking of how do we better understand how buyers are buying in this new economic climate, I think the better served we're all going to be. So the consultancy is fairly broad from an overall services portfolio perspective, but that's very intentionally so, to your point.
Yeah.
It provides a broader array of possibilities and capabilities to consult with clients.
Yeah. I mean, I think just the concept of actually forming true partnerships between, you know, a fulfillment service partner to the actual end result of whatever that, like, that service is a difficult concept for some companies to kind of wrap their head around, because they're so used to either they're stuck in an old pattern that used to work that now is not, but they're realizing that if they don't, sorry to use a word that's used all the time, but if they don't pivot, if they don't adapt to what is currently now the economic scenario and the purchasing psychology behind individuals, then they will not make it much longer. But it's a difficult thing for clients to kind of basically agree with. Would you agree with that? Like, it's like, how do you get them to agree to put their skin in the game, to do more performance-based or, you know, rev share type of models.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of trust that has to be gained before those things, these are, you know, even conversations that can be had. I think,
sure. What,
and you probably would agree with this too, not to put words in your mouth, but the worst thing for a consultancy to be thought of as is that ugly V word vendor. Like, I don't want to be a vendor. Like, I want to be a partner. But the buyer psychology, to use your phrasing, you know, buyers do a really good job of sort of compartmentalizing vendors, right? We've used these guys for this, these guys for this, these guys as our SEO partner, this is our website partner. I think you've got to be much more of a rampant generalist than, you know, super laser focused on a particular discipline in this sort of
Scott, I agree. I actually really, really, really agree.
Good, I'm glad. You're right. I know I put words in your mouth there, but I violently agree with you. So I think that's important. I think from I think maybe this comes from my sort of human-centered design consulting background, but I've always got to sort of keep the client at the center of the universe, right? Understand that as times are changing for us as consultants, the times are changing for them too, right? And we're all sort of trying to exist and prosper in this new reality. And it's been a challenge because old models don't necessarily work. And it's difficult sometimes for the larger consultancies, to use that word again, pivot. But for smaller shops like yours and mine, it's almost much easier to pivot on the fly. So I'm usually of the opinion of, like, let's run really fast and break things and learn lessons and hit walls and then turn and run really fast in another direction, because there's no magic silver bullet answer to how you do this, right? It's just so much of it is trial and error. But I think I think if we retain that sort of client centricity at the center of everything that we do, then we're better served in the way that we position to them. But yes, it's a trust thing. I mean, like anything, you have longstanding clients that you can have these deep conversations with versus, I mean, we talked before the podcast about a scenario you just run into that you didn't ever anticipate having provide that service offering. But the fact that you've left your firm a consultancy, I think provides you that sort of runway to be a bit more creative in the type of work that you do with your clients.
It's just a part of me. It's just who I am. Like, I always tell everybody, I'm the same person no matter who I'm talking to. So if I'm at the store and I'm just striking up a conversation with somebody, believe me, it annoys my friends. They're like, oh, there she goes again. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I'm interested. Like, what? No, I'm like, I get into it, but I am a generalist. I do have a wide variety of experiences in my past, and that allows me the benefit of being open-minded, finding relevancy and finding connections between disparate things that other people may not pick up on. And I can pull from those experiences, and I can make analogous, you know, connections that are kind of unique and interesting. And that's just kind of the way that I operate. So my business is a reflection of me, as your consultancy is very much a reflection of you. Yes, there is the blocking and tackling of the things we do on a daily basis, the SEO and the website builds and the campaign optimizations and ads. And that's awesome. And I love it. And I get to use a lot of creativity with that too. But when I'm actually consulting with businesses and talking to business owners or identifying problem solution, that whole world oftentimes falls outside of those distinctive pathways. And then I think when you have that sort of eye and that mindset that you can tether those variables all together, it makes you so much more useful. And I love the idea of partnering. I know that for us, we're not going to be around for this client if we're not actually really delivering for them. And I focus on longevity and reducing churn, as opposed to, you know, I know there's other agencies that are just all about acquisition. So my business model is different, but I love the consultancy aspect and the ways that you think about it and the experience that you've had, I think is super unique, and any business would benefit from having a fresh set of eyes really come in and just teach them how to go past this hurdle that we're all facing. There's so much that's changing. From a marketing perspective, from privacy, from, you know, just even the way ads and acquisition and everything is going now, right? everything was changing very quickly. So going back and dialing back, like what you're describing, to the basis of, hey, what are we here to do? And how do we provide that service as a win-win for everybody, right?
100%. There's this, I don't know if you're familiar with Rick Rubin, he's a famous music producer. He has a great quote that I love that speaks exactly to that. It says, if you're open and stay tuned to what's happening, the answers will be revealed. And I think I've always tried to adhere to that philosophy as a consultant, just being very present and listening, right? It's as much a consultants, I think you immediately think of, hey, we get paid in heft of deliverables, right?
And do nothing. Yeah.
Sort of McKinseyan sort of model, like let's be very ivory tower and say what we think are some really smart things that may or may not be actionable in any way at all. And then get paid millions of dollars to do that.
Sounds so bad.
Yeah, no, it's a bad gig if you can get it. It's not exactly me. To me, it's less being dogmatic, and it's more of just being a really good listener and trying to ask the right sorts of questions to get to the answers that you want. And that's not to say that that can't be gamed a bit, because wizard behind the curtain, I mean, any strategic recommendations that pop out the other side of my consulting engagements are going to be things that are directly in my wheelhouse. So shocking, but true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That said, the partnership model is really the only way to go, especially in these kind of wonky economic conditions.
Yeah, agreed. Scott, what sorts of clients do you work with? What verticals do you service?
Yeah, primarily digital and business consulting services. I think services are particularly ripe for what I do, because the days of 5-year large-scale digital transformation, you back up the Brinks truck, 30 consultants fall out, and for the next 5 years, they're putting together, you know, voluminous reams of documentation about what you should do for the next 5 years. Those times are over, right? Like,
yeah,
I hate that term transformation. I wish we just put a moratorium on it, because it's, especially now, it's just inconceivable to people, the girth of something like that. I think it's an exercise in understanding who your ideal customer persona is, mm-hmm. have some rough understanding of, you know, the challenges that they probably face on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, generative AI has been a really great tool for me, because it's, I can at least put, you know, some sort of touchstones in place around, hey, this particular buyer persona might be challenged with this. And it's mm-hmm. a good place to start. But if we understand that ICP, if we have a good understanding of where their challenges exist and where your solutions might be able to fit into some of those gaps, and then prioritize based on, you know, this sort of traditional XY axis, the sort of value and impact and feasibility. Like, what are these high impact things that we think we can act on immediately that'll move the needle? Form the basis of a good sort of short term roadmap that builds momentum, and nothing succeeds like success. When you start to see those successes in a series of micro actions versus something that's scale like digital transformation, it's a lot less scary for buyers, and it's a lot more easily accomplished from a practitioner's perspective. I'm sorry, if that made sense. It kind of went off on a tangent there.
But. Oh no, I totally agree. I totally get it. I mean, I feel the same way. So when I'm looking at, so this is what you look at always, right? Where's somebody at? Where do they want to be? Somebody, the company, whatever, right? Where are they at? Where do they want to be? What is their tolerance? What is their threshold? What is their pain tolerance? What is their budget? There's all these things that have to come in consideration. And then it's like, okay, how do we phase out exactly what I was telling you yesterday? I was meeting with them and I was like, okay, I knew what they wanted, but I knew also what they needed. And they were not the same thing. And so to phase out the solution so that you're right, that's palatable, less pushback, they're on board, right? All of those things need to happen. And then you can really affect change, because you're right. If you can actually prove in that first phase, like, hey, here's what we said we wanted. Here's what we decided to do. Here's how it succeeded. Now we can move forward. Cause you kind of have to use that momentum to carry you through to get to the things that you know you need to do down the line.
100%. And often what they say they need versus what their actions dictate they need are diametrically opposed.
Right. Why is that? Why do they just What do you think that is?
I don't know if it's just a general lack of self-awareness or if it's like bury my head in the sand. I don't know, but it's, quite often they think that they're here on sort of their transformation roadmap, but they're really like way over here. And you can sometimes get to those answers. I'm a big fan of doing some qualitative research too, which just interview as many possible people as you can and ask questions up and down that sort of value chain, because there's going to be upstream and downstream dependencies that exist in any organization. And to the extent you can pull on one of those levers until pain sort of pops up, then you're just doing a bunch of guesswork. So I'm of the opinion that we need to establish a basis, a foundation of, agreed upon foundation of where we actually are today, where we actually want to be. And then I think, again, it's just employing those, it's the steps in the process, right? It's the consulting process. It's asking questions. It's mapping out, current state versus future state, doing some gap analysis, figuring out where those gaps exist, and then how your solution could fit in there, and doing some of that, impact and feasibility sort of intelligent prioritization exercise. And all of a sudden, boom, you've got two or three things that are immediately actionable that'll move the needle. And that's, that's a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, right? I try to be leery of that as well.
Love it. Well, Scott, thank you so much. How can people find you? We can find you on LinkedIn under Scott Forshay.
Yeah, that's perfect. Distinctive ID. I've got that page is up as well. By all means, feel free to follow. I promise I will do a better job of keeping content fresh. It's the happy byproduct right now of not having a lot of time because we're working with clients. So those are high class problems to have.
That's good. That's good. Thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for the insights. I learned actually things that I knew, but I've never articulated. So this was really good and refreshing. Thank you so much, Scott. I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely, Jenny. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks to the audience.
Thank you.
Take care.